Coast show, same show?
Same show, same concept. Hey, let's go.
Oh, goodness.
It's funny. I was going to bring this up in the show, but again, this is all nonsense, no topic show anyways. But I started putting together I started just playing around with some of the concepts of the random world that I talked about for a while. Fucking Christ, I didn't realize how much of an endeavor that would be to like actually do that. I spent probably a good hour, maybe longer if I'm telling myself the truth, probably longer, like starting to build out the concepts, having like a list, starting making lists of like events and different things that would happen and blah, 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 blah. I got to the part where I started doing it and all I did was make coastlines. I just tried to random roll to make a coastline.
You random roll a coastline?
The way I started it, the way I initially did it is I start from a center point on a grid map and then I roll the D8 to give me a coordinate to move in a direction on a clock.
Ugh.
And then I roll the D6 to determine
just use
the
generator.
To use the distance away from it. And then from that point, I rolled another table to see whether or not this is going to be just a land or a coastline. And then from that point, I just continued to do that method until I made an entire coastline. It's so fucking stupid. It's such a stupid thing I
did. It's not just stupid. That's so unbelievably time-consuming.
Unbelievably wasteful.
First of all, random rolling, just use a generator then. And second of all, there are people that random roll things that are much, much more intelligent of like taking a piece of paper and rolling dice on it. And if it's if it's D6 or if it's this color,
yes,
then that's one point of your, sure. Like, so there's your coastline. And then if it's a D12 or whatever, then that's a lake. And
and
that takes 5 minutes.
There's plenty.
What the fuck were you doing?
There's plenty of
rolling for each line.
I just wanted to see what it was like. Once I filled up enough area where I could kind of clean the gaps. Like I did it. I made two different continents with it. I was just fucking around just to see what I could get with it. This weird concept I had. It came out pretty cool. Like some of the ideas that spawned from it. I was like, that's pretty neat. It's so unbelievably wasteful. For like just like time and energy.
Just time and energy, yeah.
Yeah. But also I was like, this is neat. It's not very useful, but neat.
I've done two maps what's that map making tool, world building tool? It's like Asgards or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's a really popular one, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's called Asgards. Anyways, there's a section of it where you can kind of like paint your coastlines, or you could paint a height map, right? So what I did is I just, on a piece of paper with a pencil, drew the map that I wanted and then just layered that over the app and then drew that as the coastline. Like one of them, there's like a level of the board game Risk. We've talked about it before.
Sure.
But one of my worlds has that. And so like I drew like an hourglass figure with a little island off to the side. And that's generally how I wanted it to look. There's other unique features about the map. Like there's a really big cove on the right side. But I drew that and then I used that to make I used Asgards to make that actually look like a D&D map with mountain ranges and bogs and lakes and rivers and shit like that. But that was really fun. Just literally sketching things on the notepad and coming up with what would be a cool coastline.
Yeah.
It's not random by any means. It is genuinely cultivated, but
it was for me, fun. It was just like, again, like the exploration of different like ideas.
Sure.
So like not that I never really thought about it, but like, it was cool to just kind of like, oh, what are the different shapes of coastlines and what is, like you could have fingers, like peninsulas. You can have like the bays. It could be unremarkable. It could be cliffside. It could be whatever. One of the maps I generated, like the bottom of the map was the center was like archipelagos, which is like the like dispersed islands. And then the two objects to the side of it were like ruins, It was like a ruined coastline from some sort of event. That was the random roll that it became. And then the rest of it was like whatever, smooth bays and peninsulas or whatever. But as I had this map in front of me, I was like, oh, how would I, like, it's cool that I generate, or like there's this archipelago and there are these two things next to it that are ruins. I was like, oh, what kind of story could I generate from this concept of like having this coastline and then having like some sort of meaning behind at least two areas of the coastline. I'm like, oh, maybe there's some crazy ass like ancient fucking arcane war that happened here. Because again, in order to make things make sense in any fantasy world, magic. what's happening here? There's an inverted mountain.
What's happening? Magic.
Magic. So I was like, it's something happened to these two different coastlines that they wiped each other off or something, like wiped each other off the globe and ruined both of their cities. And the space in between them has been converted to archipelagos into these like fractured remnants of potential land. But to anybody that would just stumble upon this, it just looks again like an archipelago. It's like, it's neat. It's a neat way to explore kind of like, at least for me, some just like unnecessary way to just create a narrative. And again, I could have easily, if I had just gone to some other generator, like just could have generated something. I just thought it was like, I was a little bored and just kind of like, let me start throwing some things together. Mainly when the table I started was events.
Sure.
It was like historical.
I actually like making the map first.
It was like societal events that would happen that could potentially, and it was like, I would roll, I was coming up with tables like, oh, if I rolled, I could roll one, two or three times on this table. And if I rolled three times, it would be a revelation that was a revelation, like the words would be revelation, divine, and uplifting. So then the event would be, I had to come up with an event that happened in this area that was divinely related. Was it divinely related through an actual intervention of God, or was that something that the society did? Whatever. They were uplifted. And what and the revelation, again, is it either really something that a God of the world did, or is the revelation something like the Crusades movie where like God wills it, where somebody says it's from God,
yeah,
and creates it? It's like, oh, cool. Like, it's just a flashpoint, a starting point to kind of like, oh, where does my creativity take me when I have this, and what could that mean for this area? And then I just got lost in the sauce and was like, well, coastlines.
I can't blame you too much about getting lost in the sauce, because I've also started a project that's wildly unnecessary. It's actually for the world that campaign that I don't want to talk about with you guys anymore, because I don't want to remind you about it.
Sure.
I started writing my own language. Actually, I've started writing multiple languages
of course,
at the same time.
You can't start. You can't just write one language.
No, because there's going to be multiple, you know, fantasy races within the world.
Once you start one language, you're like, well, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, I've also decided that I'm making my own races. Like, I'm also moving away from, like, rather than trying to twist elven lore, I'm just going to make my own.
Yeah, your own version of what an elf is.
No, they're not even elves anymore.
No, I'm saying,
it's my own thing entirely. It is heavily inspired by Tolkien elves, but... Yeah.
I'm saying like the role that elves played in stories that you know. It's like, oh, what if I make a thing that's instead of elves, it's just this other thing.
In learning to do that, I had to deep dive into linguistics, and I spent a very long time doing that, and then creating structure and language rules, and then like syllable combinations and ways of pronouncing things. I'm also writing it in the International Phonetic Alphabet so that I know exactly how it's pronounced. I steered off of that for a little bit, where I started writing my own pantheon and then the language for the pantheon.
Don't get me wrong. It isn't that far out of your character as a person. Just because I know we've had personal conversations where, like, since learning your other language that you have, you've always lambasted English for being unnecessary and having, like, useless words or letters, or that it should have more letters to cover certain sounds.
Oh, it needs more letters, and then some of the letters it has are stupid.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you've always had, and you've always expressed an interest in language and linguistics. Yeah. It's just now you're giving yourself the opportunity to let that part of your brain run wild.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what's happening.
Yep. He's out here writing the soft Marillion.
The soft Marillion.
Do you have that, Gray, in your world? Do you have, like, not necessarily, do you have it, like, stated that there are other languages, and have you bothered to try to create them, or?
I usually make words, but the languages in my universe are all real-world languages, so if you find a language on another planet, it's going to be derivative of
some
whatever
some,
thing we have here.
Yeah, yeah, some variant of.
For my Stargate influence.
So that was what, mine originally was going to be just a naming convention, and then derivative of English, and then, which is still kind of is, like, I want to use the English structure for things, so, like, non-gendered language, I think that's easier, and then relatively using our syntax, English syntax. But originally it was just going to be a naming convention, and then like a spelling, and that's kind of, that was going to be the end of it. And now I just want it to be a whole language now.
I don't think
I want to bring them all to what would be like base conversational, which I think is like 1,000 words, 2,000 words.
I don't think I've explored in any of, I'm trying to think. Of any of my stories where I've gone outside the box of like a language. I've usually just said that a place has like an associated language of the type or species or civilization. So like if this place has elves, because not really exploring outside of even certain races or even like anthropomorphizing a creature. So like if there isn't, although D&D. At least D&D fantasy has really covered the at least more popularized the like full swath of like sentient creatures in the last few years, if not longer. Just my experience of seeing the stuff that they cover. So like, you know, sentient reptilian creatures, sentient like turtles and, you know, rabbits and all those kinds of things have become way more popular. At least for me seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So like at the time of one of my stories, it would be that I have from a while ago. It's like, I did have like these sentient animalistic races and they would each have their individual language, but I would just be like, they have a rhino language.
Yeah, they speak rhinoceros.
You know,
that's mostly what D&D does.
Yeah.
I think they do have naming conventions, but beyond naming conventions, it's mostly just like, oh yeah, these people speak Sylvan.
Yeah.
And they're speaking at you in Sylvan. Do you speak Sylvan? And you don't know what they're saying. Roll me an insight check. They seem angry. It's not, yeah, there's no actual, to my knowledge, at least not official source for D&D related languages, which is fine. I also like, I want you guys to play in my world. I don't care if you guys. You guys do not need to. I'll probably make a name generator or give you the rules.
Yeah. I understand that this is for you.
Yeah, yeah. This is just This is just a fun thing to create. But like, I would love to be at the table and fucking, I would love to turn to Gray and say something in that language. And
that's
then
funny.
Everybody's like, what? And then we're like, oh yeah, you understand it. And then just translate it to English. Like, you never need to look at a document. It's fine. It'll be on your character sheet what language you're proficient in.
Or
that's all you need to know.
Or if you want to put the guys up even more, like you text it to that character, like beforehand.
You could.
I'm just saying beforehand so they know what you're about to say. So like, oh, I understood. You said
this. Yeah, yeah.
And I speak back gibberish.
And you just nod your head.
I love it. Oh my God. It would be such a like, oh shit moment if like let's say it was Gray that played like the guide character and the guide character speaks a certain language, and then that's what comes up in the campaign. And then all of a sudden, me and Gray at the table just start speaking this made-up language. And everybody's like, what the fuck is happening? Gray got really into it and learned my language. It's only 1,000 words. You could learn that. What's the prerequisite for playing at your table? Oh, you have to learn the language. That's like so a whole funny. Language.
It's funny. I'm trying to think of like my own personal.
If you want any languages beyond common on your character sheet, you have to actually learn them.
Here are the documents. Like, are you trying? Well, sorry, you don't know it then. And you say a sentence. It's like, well, what's the response?
Yeah.
He's like, well, all right, you don't know the language.
Yeah, well, then you don't know it. If you don't know what I'm saying to you, then you don't understand it, do you? You have to actually learn sword fighting.
It's funny because you made a comment about one of the art pieces that I did for our ad reads. We're like, oh, you really went to town with like the symbols or whatever. The whatever. Because that's the only time I could think of is when I was younger, like a lot younger, I did create like a symbolic language. Like I would create symbols that meant something. And so like that's in my signature. Like in my signature, I have
We're all such fucking losers.
One of those symbolic meanings in my signature.
Nix has Nixian in his signature. Just another language that only he speaks.
It's way dumber than that. I was a teenager and I made this.
He made
thing.
5 words. One of them is penis, and that's what he signs his name. And he's like, nobody even knows.
Oh, dude, thinking about it, it's such a philosophy dumb fuck that I was. It's mind, body, spirit. That's what it is, the symbol meaning. It's like, oh, what a fucking pretentious little bitch I was.
All right. Me and Gray are nerds. Yeah. Nix is a loser.
Don't worry. I get reminded by my Facebook. Hey, remember this thing you wrote 10 years ago? I was like, ugh. Like, I can't believe.
You clearly thought you were waxing poetically. Oh, dude. Like, you just seem arrogant.
I thought I knew the definitions of what the world was. I could see better than everyone else. Oh, you dumb idiot.
It's part of growing up.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't get better.
Oh, no.
Like, 10 years from now, you'll be listening to YouTube videos of our podcast and be like, ugh. I was so loud then.
God, I would hope so. I would hope that I would have the
ability.
That
you get better?
He's going to look back. He's like, oh, I was so quiet back then. What happened?
I was so quiet back then. Everyone wants to hear my voice and the things I'm saying.
Me. God, I mean, we might look back and be like, man, me and Nix interrupted each other a lot. Like, man, did we talk over Gray so much?
Yeah, I was about to say, the thing I look back on even now, even as we recorded this episode, is like, man, there's no room for Gray to talk.
Nah, we're going to look back at this in 10 years and be like, man, Gray didn't insert himself very well back then. Get involved, brother.
But those ad reads.
Those ad reads, though.
Those ad reads were insane.
Damn ad reads, though.
I hope I never lose the magic of what I think of those ad reads.
So fucking stupid.
God, this is fucking silly. Yeah.
Guys, I'm running out of steam here.
Yeah.
I was a pumpkin before we became princesses.
Yeah.
Is that how Cinderella goes?
Yep, that is the plot of Cinderella.
She's a princess and then she turns into a pumpkin?
Well, yeah, like halfway through the story, she becomes a princess. And then as the clock turns to like midnight when the rose happens, like when the rose runs out of leaves or whatever, she becomes a pumpkin.
I was always a pumpkin.
Yeah.
I was just wearing the princess dress.
Yeah, that's after her like great grandmother spirit in the tree talks to her or something like that about the colors of the wind.
I've been a pumpkin wearing a princess dress this whole podcast. And I'm so hungry.
Yeah. All right, we could end it. Have yourself your breakfast.
No, lunch?
Hey!
I had a meal today, guys.
That's a surprising an upgrade from the norm. Lunch at 10 instead better. Of breakfast at 10.
He's starting to take care of himself.
Hey, congrats.
He had a food earlier. One whole food.
Well, it's not necessarily the food part. It's the, like, your when you woke up was relatively where you could eat first before the podcast.
Yeah, I've been up since, like, 7 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm a pumpkin. I'm a pretty, pretty princess pumpkin.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the post-show of Take the Damage podcast. We will catch you next week.
Bye.